Please be seated. Well, Advent has been a time of waiting. And there may well be numbers of you who are just waiting still for tomorrow morning and going, it's nearly here. Christmas, presents, trees, food, all of those things are about to happen. And in tonight's readings, we hear that at last it has come. At last it is here. At last we see, at last, Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. In Titus, the grace of the Lord has appeared. Luke 2, and while they were there, the time came, and the angel declared, this day is born a child. At last, the Saviour, the Anointed One, the Chosen Redeemer, the one who is named Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God Himself is here, visible, real, light in the darkness. That one has arrived, God Emmanuel. God is with us. In his Christmas pastoral letter, Archbishop Jeff writes, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for Christmas. I don't mean I'm organised for Christmas. I'm not. But I am ready to celebrate Christmas, to be reminded in our current rather chaotic world that God loves that world so much that he pitched his tent among us to share our life, die our death, and open the way to new creation for us and the whole world. Given the chaotic feeling that Australia has had this year and the terrible shadow of the conflict between Israel and Hamas, the civil wars in Myanmar, Sudan, and Ethiopia, and the ongoing Russian invasion of the Ukraine, I need the refreshment of being reminded of God's love in Jesus and the hope that brings. Christmas reminds us that despite the enormity of human sin, God has not given up on us. And despite our best efforts to sideline and ignore God, God loves us. Despite what we might see now in the world, God has a bigger and better plan and vision for the world. And all of this we see in the birth of Jesus. So that's why this celebration is so important and so refreshing and is such good news for everyone that needs to hear. You see, in the letter that Paul wrote to Titus, he says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds, it says. God's desire is that all will know him and be included in this people of his own, that he walks with us in the task of being the commissioned ones so that we might share this hope with all, those whom God might bring near to us and those to whom he sends us, to share what we know about Christ as the light and hope for this world, the one Christ who came and will come again. Have you noticed that we don't often notice something until we no longer have it, and so we miss it? Peace and joy can be like that. God came to bring us peace and joy, but perhaps we didn't really notice how much peace and joy we didn't have until we were living in a time like this. A time like this in which we go, I want to know a God who brings peace and joy. We've had COVID, and it is still with us, and we've had to adapt our ways of living to live with COVID. Wars, racial discrimination and violence, gender confusion, destruction of creation and climate change, poverty, increasing costs of living, family violence, trading in people and children. We're disturbed and threatened and helpless and can even at times mistake feel hopeless. Is there any hope left in this world? And it's into such a time that the hope of the world in Jesus is the only way forward. I have a number of friends from the time when we worked in Nepal who are Christians who come from a Buddhist background. And when I said to them, a number of them are now pastors or leaders in the church, why did you leave Buddhism to follow Jesus? And they said, it's because we found light in darkness. Buddhism was all about fear, about being in the dark, about gods that led us astray, who wouldn't make up their minds. We found in the Lord Jesus light in a world of darkness. And so, my friends, while we live in this time of light in Christ, he has come and has manifested the glory of God to us. We also look forward to the time when he will come again and restore the world to the way God intends it to be. We know of the one whom Isaiah has called a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, a prince of peace. And aren't they just the things that we need in life? How often have you needed a wise and wonderful counselor alongside you as you've made decisions about life's journey? Will I take this job? Will I move house? Might I migrate to Australia? Times when we've needed a mighty God, one who not only is sympathetic to us or even loves us, but one who is active and able to help and intervene in things that are much bigger than us. To know what someone who is the perfect dad, the absolute everything a dad should be, and one who celebrates a life of peace. We're told in the scriptures that this one comes and whose authority shall grow continually, and there will be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom, established, upheld forever. And yet this is the God that we meet in a manger for the first time. Here is a God who grew up to walk this earth, revealing truth and hope, to be personal to the least and the lost. A God who demonstrates daily his love for everyone, this desire that none should perish and that all should be saved. The whole plan of this lowly birth, this unexpected arrival, this mind-blowing, belief-shattering, life-bringing intrusion is for the world to have a new direction, for creation to be reborn and renewed, to be working in cooperation with the Creator and the Saviour. It's all to be found in the one we meet just as he takes his first breaths in the world. But as he comes out of his mother's womb and takes a deep breath, and one presumes a great cry, the symbol that he brings life, and that it signals that God's plans are that we would have new birth, we would be new creations. This is the hope in which we wait. It's not a hope we have to wait for and hope it might come sometime. It has come in the birth of Christ. And so in that hope, we can stand and wait with confidence in life and of life that is in us. A life in us and through us to share with the world. And it's this life in Christ that drives our zeal for this good and godly, God-directed living that Paul talks about to Titus. God designed ways of being and living and serving. God designed ways of building up a community, a people of God who might serve the creation and the world. Psalm 96 says, "Say among the nations that the Lord is King. He has made the world so firm it cannot be moved, and he will judge the people with equity." There is real hope in the Lord Jesus, a gift of hope, an able and active hope, a life-changing and world-renewing hope, that we can have renewed dreams and aspirations. We can reach out for what is real and find that it makes a difference. We can walk with shepherds and we can hear what they heard and see what they saw, and like them, be so filled with hope for life and praise for our God that we share it with others. What does life look like walking in the light? It's a life in which the Lord Jesus is real. He's a real friend. He's a real God. He's a real healer and a real counselor. And he's right with us. And you can chat with him. We make prayer a very special thing. Anglicans, I think, are very good at making sure prayer is carefully said and carefully written and carefully thought about. But actually, prayer is just chatting with God. And it doesn't have to be a formally constructed, and it doesn't have to be done just by special people. God says, "I'm here next to you. I want to speak with you. I want you to listen to me. I want to hear what you have to say. I'm here in your life." And he's here to transform that life, so that we know how to walk with him and how to live this life that is new. Might you at the end of this night go home to have a real prayer with God, asking him to show you what does it look like to walk in your light. Amen.